Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
The last time I preached was 2.5 weeks ago until this Sunday. We just came back from West Virginia. I spoke on Sunday with our good friends there. And today in California. But before that, 2 weeks before that, the last time I preached, it was at the memorial service, the homecoming service for our only son, Roman. That day I preached about 13,726 days. 13,726 days. That's the number of days my son lived in this earthly body before his spirit returned to God. If you think about it, 13,726 days is not a big number. 37 years. It's not a big number. 13,726 nights under the same sky we see today. Every one of those days is a gift. Listen, every one of our days on this earth is a gift. Every one of them recorded in heaven. That message 2.5 weeks ago was about the life completed, because we believe our son has completed his life as a winner. And today's message, I'm going to be speaking about the life that never really ends. Because if there is one thing this last 50 days since passing of our son have taught me, it is this: eternity, my friend, is closer than you think. It is closer than you think. You see, when our body dies, the spirit does not stop living. It simply continues, just beyond the veil. In a place we can feel but cannot yet see while we are still in this earthly body. Sometimes we can call that place heaven. Sometimes we can call it eternity. But it's not far away. No, my friend. It's very near. It's right here, right on the other side of the wall that separates faith and sight. And once you have walked through the deep lows, like my wife and I, we went during last 50 days, you begin to understand. No, heaven is not distant galaxy far, far away. You can see we live close to Disney these days. No, my friend, heaven is real. It is real to us. As a matter of fact, it is more real to us now than it has ever been in our life. It's the same presence of God, just without walls we have here on earth. You know, we spoke with Pastor Debbie recently, a few months ago, and it just hit me another time. I started to think, I've been preaching for more than 30 years. And being a preacher for more than 30 years, I went back through my messages and I realized something. I have not really preached about death, eternity, or heaven as often as I probably should have. Of course, you know, Pastor, we preach gospel, we preach leadership, we preach relationships, how to be blessed, all of those beautiful and wonderful messages. And yet, this subject, eternity, is probably most real of them all. Most real. Right now, walking through this valley, I keep thinking about families everywhere. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, children, we are losing these people losing their loved ones in my own country, in Ukraine. And even in Russia, you know, being Ukrainian, we don't like Russians these days. But if you think about it, even in Russia, people are dying every day. Many other places where people are stepping into the eternity every single day. I believe we as a church need to speak more about heaven. Need to speak more about salvation and the hope of resurrection much more often than we speak today. Because think about it, people around us are crossing that line every day. And many of them have no idea where they're going. Yes, my wife and I, we have peace. Today, I can honestly say we have peace. Because we know where our son is. He lived with a mission for 37 years. You know, when he was only 4.5 years old, he gave his life to Jesus. 4.5 years old. When he was 5 years old, he was baptized. He saw mom and dad were baptized, and he said, I want to be baptized. And I'm like, no, you are not ready. And he said, no, I believe in Jesus. I said, he is ready. That's all you need to do. Believe in Jesus. And that faith kept him until his final breath. When his body stopped working, his spirit immediately went to heaven, just like the thief on the cross who turned to Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus answered, what? Today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Come on, say with me today. Well, not us today. I don't want us to go to paradise yet. But that's what we believe. That's what we believe. But how many people around us can say the same? How many are living today not sure when they will spend eternity? Or even worse, not even thinking about it. But my friend, listen to this. One heartbeat, one breath, one blink of an eye, and you are on another side. In that instant, you will open your eyes and you will no longer be on this earth. I know some people could say, but Pastor Zhenya, this is just simple gospel message. But let me tell you something. This simple gospel message saved us during the last 50 days. It did. It saved me on that day when I saw the body of my son lying lifeless. The moment I realized his spirit was gone, we cried, we grieved, we were absolutely broken. But from that very first moment, we also had hope. And listen to this, the hope won. And during last 50 days, we still cry and we laugh and we cry again. Yeah, we cry more than we laugh. Because the hope of the resurrection, the hope we preach, was not a theory to us anymore. Oh, no. It became our lifeline. And that hope came from this very same, very simple gospel message I am preaching to you today. So yes, it is simple, but don't be mistaken, my friend. The power of this message is stronger, it is more real, it is more important than anything else on this earth. Because you know what? Sometimes the most simple stuff is the most powerful stuff. And this brings me to the story that became the foundation of that same hope. the story of Abraham and Isaac. Did you know that for thousands of years, long before the cross, Abraham was willing to sacrifice the body of his son, the promised son God gave him in his old age? He lifted the knife, not because he stopped loving his son, no, but because he believed something most people in his time could never even imagine, that even if the body dies, come on somebody, God somehow could raise it again. Oh yes, he can. Oh yes, he can. I believe Abraham's hope was not in death, but in resurrection. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham reasoned that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. It's a quote. So, this was not a story about loss. It was a story about faith that sees beyond the body, faith that sees eternity. And I know the story of Abraham and Isaac is a very famous one. We all heard it since Sunday school. It sounds simple, almost predictable. But let me tell you something. There is so much more in that story many of us never ever heard because we never been taught about this. See, when Jesus was 12 years old, he was sitting at the temple, listening to the Hebrew teachers, probably like our kids in the Sunday school. He most likely heard this very story, but not the way we hear it today as Christians. I will explain what I mean. See, over the centuries, especially in medieval art, we've seen paintings of Abraham holding the knife of a small boy, maybe 10, maybe 12 years old. Come on, somebody. Is that what we remember, right? Abraham is getting the knife of a small boy's body. And we think to ourselves, how could the father do this to his son? 12-year-old boy, child. But that was never how Hebrew people understood that story. No. That was never how they heard it. For generations, they thought that Isaac, listen to me, he was not a boy. He was a man. As a matter of fact, Isaac was a 37-year-old man when he was laying on that pile of food. 37-year-old man. Same age as my son Roman was. And not only did Abraham offer his son, listen to this, I believe Isaac offered himself. He willingly carried the wood on his shoulders, just as Jesus would one day carry the wood on his shoulders. The cross, come on somebody. He did not resist, oh no. He did not run away. He trusted. He had the same faith as his father. Faith that if the body died, God would somehow raise it again. So now we can understand. This was not a story about father forcing his son to die. It was a story about the father and the son walking together in agreement, both believing in resurrection. Remind you something? Father and the son walking together in agreement, both willing to offer everything. So that same picture we see on Mount Moriah was a prophetic preview of what would one day happen on the Mount Calvary. The Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus, working together in agreement, offering and sacrificing together. Not for their own test, but for your salvation and my salvation. Abraham lifted the knife, but God stopped him. Centuries later, on another mountain, God did not stop himself and his own hand. And because of that, our son, come on somebody, your loved ones and every believer in Christ will rise again when Jesus returns. That's the power of the gospel, my friend. That's the hope that holds us. That hope that makes eternity not a theory anymore, but a promise. And by the way, before I continue, I want to say thank you to my beautiful wife. Because this story about Abraham and Isaac, the way I'm sharing with you today this story, she was the one to show me this story first. It will be the part of her new book called Lifeline. She started writing this book on the very first day when she received the news that our son, our only son, went to be with the Lord Jesus. Oh, it was painful. And out of that pain, out of that holy place of surrender, she began to write. Continue writing, baby. We need that book, baby. Not only to mothers, but she began to write to fathers, sisters, brothers, families who have walked through the loss and they don't know how to comprehend. So I want to say thank you to my wife for letting me share this piece from her book and for reminding me that there is another person in this whole Abraham and Isaac story. Her name is Sarah. We often don't think about Sarah. Come on. We just think about these guys, but Sarah, she doesn't get enough credit. The mother of Isaac. She will tell that part in her book from the mother's heart. Let me add you one more story to this message. This story came to me recently. I preached about it long time ago. Are you guys okay? Are you? Come on, let's give it up for Jesus one more time. Amen. Thank you for being a family to us. This story came back to me recently. I preached about it long time ago in Kiev. I remember back in Ukraine, when we were pastor in Hillsong Church, Ukraine, there was a preacher who used to say to people, he was very famous preacher, and he used to say to people, I quote, if you are going through loss or suffering, it's probably because you did something wrong. You just reaping what you sown. That made me so mad, angry, Ukrainian angry. Not because I wanted to defend people's feelings, no, but because I knew it was completely unbiblical. Please hear me out. Please, it's going to help you today, probably. Pain is not always punishment. Yes, sometimes we experience pain because we are stupid. Yeah? But it's not always punishment. So back in the day, I started the whole series of messages about the guy named Job. Oh, I love Job. What a cool guy he is. And I preached on that book for months in our church, for a few months, actually. Now, years later, walking through my own valley of grief, I came back to those same messages, but they spoke to me in a very new, brand new way. See, I started thinking about Job as a father. Bible says, if you remember the story, if you don't know, in probably in a just in a few days, he lost everything, including his children. He lost 10 children at once. In one day, we lost one, and we were grieving, and we were crying, and we were mourning, but he lost 10 kids in one day, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Come on, say with me, 7 sons, 3 daughters. Can you imagine losing 10 kids at once, Pastor? I wondered if someone asked Job, how many children do you have? What would he say? Because you see, I have 2 children, a son and a daughter. If someone, actually Vera asked me a couple of weeks ago, Zhenya, how many kids do we have? And without thinking, I said 2. I did not say 1. Are you with me? I said 2. I have a son and I have a daughter. So if someone would ask me today, how many kids do you still have? I would say 2. Because I still have 2. One here on earth, her name is Diana, and one is in heaven. His name is Roman. I still have 2 children, both alive. One is here on this earth with us, and the one is alive in eternity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see, Job has always been one of those mysterious figures in the Bible. Everybody heard about his pain, but not everybody understand its purpose. From the very beginning, the Bible said in Job chapter 1, which completely destroyed that pastor's theory, that Job was God himself, called Job blameless and upright, a man who feared God and turned away from evil. Let's read together from Job chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, "Then the Lord asked Satan, 'Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is the best of the best. He is blameless. A man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil.'" In another word, Job did not do anything wrong. Would you agree, church? He was not being punished, no. And yet, he lost everything. His children, his wealth, his health, and his reputation. So his friends came to him. Oh, those friends. We had some of those too in the past 50 days, trust me. They sat next to him and they tried to explain his pain. The same way some religious people still do today. They said, "Job, be honest. You must have sinned. You must have done something. It was something wrong." Be honest with us, Job. But Job knew better. He did not have the answer because he did not need the answer because he had relationships. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, guys, when we are going through the valley of death, we don't need answer. We just need simply relationships. And it will come to you. It will come to you. And somewhere in the middle of his ashes, in the middle of his silence, Job began to see something no one around him could see. He said in Job chapter 42, verse 5, "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you." You know what? It is one thing to hear about God, but it is totally another thing when you start seeing God with your own eyes. Mm-hmm. It is one thing to come to Rock Church and listen to brilliant messages like tonight, come on somebody, and listen to all of those good words, but it is totally another thing when you are walking through the valley of death in the last 50 days, but you start to see God. Not just hear about him, but you start to see your God. That's the moment revelation came. Not when his wounds healed, not when his wealth returned, but when his eyes opened. Job realized that life does not end where the pain begins. He understood what most people never do, that the same God who gives can also carry, can also sustain, and can also resurrect if needed be. I want to show you something that still makes me smile every time I read about it. One of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. When God restored Job, the Bible says he doubled everything. Everything. Come on, say with me, everything. Everything means everything. Everything what he had, God has doubled. In Job chapter 42, verse 12, the Lord blessed the later days of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, if you go back to the chapter 1, before the whole crisis, let's read this. Job chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Reminds you something? Come on, somebody. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 5 female donkeys. See, all numbers of his possessions were doubled, from 7,000 to 14,000 sheep, from 3,000 to 6,000 camels, from 500 to 1,000 oxen, and from 500 to 1,000 donkeys. Everything was double except children. The children were not doubled. If I were Job, I would say, excuse me, Lord, thank you for doubling camels. Very nice of you. That's wonderful. But I was kind of expecting double children too, maybe 14 sons and 6 daughters. You know, just keep your math straight. But my friend Job knew better. He knew that God, my friend, does not make accounting errors and mathematical mistakes. God knew exactly what he was doing. And the truth, come on, stop clapping. It's not the time yet. The truth is beautiful. It is one of the most beautiful hidden truths in the whole scripture. Job's number of children were not doubled. They were not 20, but they were still 10, because the first 10 were never ever lost. They were still alive, but they were in eternity. They were not gone, just relocated. They were waiting for him on the other side. So God just added another 10, making a complete family of 20 souls. 10 on earth, 10 in heaven, 20 altogether. Come on, somebody. What an amazing, quiet, biblical truth of resurrection, hope, and eternal reunion. And I imagine today, on November 12, 2025, Job is smiling in heaven right now, surrounded by all 20 souls, saying, "See, I told you, my Redeemer lives." Come on. So I think if someone had asked Job after all of that, "How many children do you have now?" He would not have said 10. He would not have smiled. He would not have smiled through the tears, and he would say, "I still have all of them. Some are here on earth, and some are waiting for me out there." Because Job had seen eternity. He did not just talk about God anymore. No, no, no. He saw God. And that's when faith stopped being a doctrine and becomes a lifeline. And that is our hope too. That's why we can laugh today. We were laughing a lot today with these guys, our friends. That's why we can breathe again. That's why we can say we did not lose our son. We know where he is. He is waiting for us. We still have two kids. And we know that the heaven is not silent today, but it's filled with his worship, Roman's worship. It's filled with sons and daughters who carried their wood, who worshiped through their ashes, who saw what Job saw, the Redeemer standing in eternity. And my friend, this eternity is closer than you think. Heaven is not far. And one day we will see every face we loved, every prayer we whispered, every promise fulfilled, all together in one peace, one presence, one unbroken family. But until then, let's keep worship like Job, walking like Abraham and Isaac, and waiting with joy, because this story does not end in the ashes. It ends with homecoming. So let me ask you, if today would be your last breath, if today would be your last day, do you know where you will open your eyes? Because Jesus still stands at the edge of eternity saying the same words he would say to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You just have to believe in it. Can we all stand up on our feet? It was a simple message. Simple gospel message of eternity. And I want to pray with those people who are not sure. You are not sure if this is your last day. And if you leave this church and go to a restaurant and that, God forbid, being hit by car and your life is gone, where would you wake up? If you don't know about this, let's make a decision. I want to know that I am saved. I want to know if my life is finished today or tomorrow or next month, I'm going to go to heaven. Let's close our eyes. And I know most of the people in this congregation, they come to church on Wednesdays because this is your church. You are saved. But maybe there are people in this auditorium who don't know Jesus yet. And I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. I want to invite you to pray with me this simple prayer, while everybody close our eyes and everybody don't look around. I want every Christian to pray tonight because this is a holy moment. But if that's you, my friend, if you need this prayer, would you pray with me? I want to lead you in this prayer. I want to say you the words which needs to be said today from your own heart. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But I need to know who you are and where you are. So right now, while we all close our eyes, if that's you, I'm going to count to three. And when I say one, two, and I say three, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? please don't be shy. Don't get worried. I'm not going to ask you to come to this stage and say something. But if that's you, if you say, Pastor Zhenya, please pray for me. I don't know where I'm going to be spending my eternity. If you need this prayer, are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Can you please raise your hands? Thank you. 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 Keep raising your hands. Keep raising. Don't put them down. Keep raising your hands. Come on. Thank you. I've seen about 10 hands on this side. Another hand. Another hand. Another. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Come on. Come on. I'm not going to put the pressure on you. This is your decision. If you did not raise your hand, but you need to raise your hand, do it now. Who else? Who else? Thank you. Another hand right there. Come on, church. Can we give these people big and huge round of applause? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Can I ask you to do something? If you raise your hand, can you come please here, down here, so I can pray with you together? If you raise your hand, if you come with the family, come with your family together. If you raise your hand, don't be shy. Just come here and stand here and we're all gonna pray together. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's keep clapping. Come on, let's invite those people. Come on, come on. Come, come, come. Come on, church. Come on, keep clapping. Thank you, thank you. Oh, we can do better than that, church. Yes. Beautiful people. Amazing. Amazing. Come on, keep clapping. Keep clapping. They are still coming. Wonderful, wonderful. Come here, darling. Church, can we give a big round of applause to these people one more time? Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. Oh, strong hands, come on. Ooh. Very strong. These Californians are strong, man. Thank you so much. Today is the greatest day of your life. I'm telling you, it is the greatest day. Because today you know that Jesus comes to your heart, and no matter what's happening in life, you're going to heaven. That's an amazing feeling. That's so good to know. So I want to pray with you and for you. And then we have Pastor Joel. We did not actually, we decided to wear the same jackets. We did not, yeah, but in the same spirit. And then Pastor Joel is going to share with you something and speak with you for a few minutes. But let's pray together. If you want to close your eyes, please do so. And we're going to pray and invite Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Please pray with me. Pray after me, but make it your own prayer, okay? Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I come to you and I want to recognize I am a sinner. Come into my heart. Jesus, come to my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge I need you. Thank you for saving my life. And thank you that one day I will see you face to face in heaven. I am so sorry for my sins. But now I know that I have a brilliant future. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on! Yes, yes. Listen, listen. You're already saved. You don't need to do anything. You're already saved. Jesus is in your heart. But now we need to grow spiritually. We need to start reading that book, beautiful Bible. And we need to start growing in relationship with Jesus. See, everything what I want for all of us, guys, is not just to hear about God. I want us to see God in everything what we do, in everything what we're going through, even through this economy situation. You know that my Lord Jesus got my back. Come on, somebody, yes? So, can I just encourage you? Can I encourage you? Start coming to church. Even if you can do once a month, come to church, and maybe then twice a month, and then maybe on every Sunday. And if you're real Christian, come on Sunday and Wednesday, yeah? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we Pastor Dan and Jess, we are doing so many opportunities for people to grow in Christ and learn about God more and more. So, come on, give these people a big round of applause one more time. And all of you guys, can you just follow Pastor Joel for few minutes, just that way. Come on, keep clapping, guys. Pastor and the team, I just want to thank you guys for supporting Vera and I. We will keep our best job possible, what we can do to serve Ukrainians, to serve churches there. And thank you, Rock Church, for always being our family. You are the best. Thank you.
Real quick. Vera, would you come? Just for a moment. And let's come. Pastor Jess, would you come? You know, there's a few messages, like you had mentioned, I believe, talking about preaching on Job, that you remember from years and years ago. And there are certain things Pastor Jim and Deborah have spoken and messages that we've heard over the years. There's still things Dr. Hall, I remember as a 15-year-old boy in an evangelical free church in Reno Valley. There's things that he spoke that I still remember. I believe tonight is a message that marked all of us and that we're going to remember in a profound way. I want to pray for you guys, but I also want you guys to pray, because I believe that there was a sound that was struck, like a ringing of a bell, probably in hearts, especially I'm thinking of the moms. And Vera, I would love for you to pray for the moms who have lost children here on this earth. And even I know, many of you know my wife's testimony. And so when you said that you have two children, to think that we have five. And I'm over there wrestling because Pastor Jess, that was before we were married. And, you know, just the thought of being a stepdad and bringing together a blended family. And I thought, man, I'd have killed it. I'd have been a good stepdad. You know what I mean? Like, that's just who I am. I love kids, and I'm, you know, I'm often called the baby whisperer and all that kind of stuff. Just thinking through those scenarios. And God had to minister to my heart and say, but you're one. You're one. You do have two kids in heaven. And it's a profound truth that I think only a parent can know. And so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand the microphone over to you, Vera, if you would pray. Would you stretch out your hands towards Jenny and Vera? Father, these are not only our friends, God, they're our family, our brother and sister. Fathers and mothers, not only to two children, but of the faith, God. These are people that are dear and near to your heart, shepherds who you gave to pastor and to lead and to love. And Lord, their hearts are hurting and they're grieving. And so as the Rock Church family, we come and surround them with our love, with our care, with our prayers, God. Lord, we know from our own griefs and the things that we've walked through, some, not all, but some of what they're going through. And so I pray as waves of emotion, highs and lows come at them, God, that you're with them in every step of the way, God. We thank you for this word of resurrection that we've heard today, God. Thank you for Zhenya, God. Thank you for a voice that's greater than ever before, God. That there's greater influence and a greater sound, God. Lord, as you've turned his heart towards eternity, God, may he turn the hearts of many all over the earth towards eternity. I thank you, Father God, for that voice going forth on the earth, Lord, in powerful ways, God. Lord, for Ukrainians, for Russians, God, for Americans, oh Lord, for Israelis and Syrians, God, for Lebanese, God, and Lord, throughout the earth, God, that you would cause this sound to go forth, God, all over the earth. And so, Father, we just bless them now. We bless them now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Lord God, I'm so grateful that you found us. And thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit is real.
Yes.
And we are not alone when we are going through tribulation and sorrow and challenges and pain and grief. God, you are so good.
Yes.
You give us revelation. You show us heaven. And you encourage our heart and our faith. And I'm praying right now for every person in this auditorium and everyone probably who is watching. And I want to bring peace through this prayer to our hearts. Yes, we will have tears and grief, but we will have peace and faith in resurrection. I'm praying for specifically for mothers. Because mothers, they have not just spiritual, but biological connection. And this lifeline is never broken. But I'm praying right now, the same way you turn my heart and my pain into the assignment and the mission. Please remind us, we are mothers, not just for the physical children, but we are mothers to those who need to be nurtured by us. I'm praying for mothers so they would understand that Jesus on a cross, being in agony, commissioned his own mother to become a mother for John and for others whom he raised. So right now I'm praying for all the mothers in grief. Help them to see that they're allowed to grieve, they're allowed to cry as much as they need. But the grief has a purpose. And this purpose is love and compassion towards those who are suffering and towards those who need us as mothers. So right now, I'm praying for supernatural divine revelation to everyone who is going through very difficult time, and especially mothers, sisters, grandmothers, aunts. Give us mission and assignment, yes, to carry this love for our children and to adopt spiritual children, yeah, as our own. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, now you know why we have tissue boxes all over this sanctuary. If you didn't know before, now you know. Hey, Turkey Bowl is going on in the youth, so if you have teens and they're still going on, I don't know what part of the program they're going to be at. We usually go till about 8:30, so if you do have teens over there and they're still enjoying the Turkey Bowl, would you just give them that last time? If you got to go, we understand, but just let's be respectful, especially if there's an altar call for the youth. Let them win souls and be respectful of what the Holy Spirit is doing in this time. So find some other parents that you don't know, get to know them, ask them how old their children are, and just get to know somebody out there for the parents of teens over there. For the rest of you guys, we're going to dismiss right now. And again, if the classes are doing their altar calls over there and the children's side, make sure to be respectful of what God is doing, saving souls there at young ages. But if they're available to pick up kids, you can do that and you can be on your way. Can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? even online. Come on, let me bless you wherever you're at, all over the world. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city and in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, about our Inland Empire, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.